Now for the tricky bit. Have you fastened your seatbelts? This is the bit where God has to show us what we're really like rather than what we think we're like. God's going to try and take us to the mirror. I don't like mirrors either. It was a bit better when I was 20, but not a lot. God wants us to begin to see ourselves as we really are, and not as we think we are. When we see ourselves as we really are, well, I can only tell you what I do when I see myself as I am. I am compelled to throw myself before the mercy of God, because there's such an awareness that without a Redeemer, I am well and truly lost. Am I on my own or? That's okay. I'm in bad company, that's all. So we all need a Redeemer. Well, this next message is difficult. Just as difficult as it was for the Jews, who had waited thousands of years for the Messiah. Because it's always another generation that he will come to, not this one. We've waited thousands of years. Maybe he's coming soon. But it won't be us. It might be my son or my grandson. That's why they didn't recognize him. You see, with Jesus, almost all the prophecies were about his second coming. When you read the scriptures, almost all of them are about his second coming. He comes in the clouds with power, great glory, subdues all enemies underneath his feet. He's worshipped as king. He reigns from Jerusalem. There are hundreds of them. This is what the Jews were waiting for. But interspersed in those prophecies were a handful of his first coming. Lowly and humble. Rejected by men. Riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. The Passover lamb that was killed. Well, with these handful of humbling messages, well, let's discard those. Let's go for all these hundreds of great and powerful king messages. And what the Jews missed was he comes twice. Once as Redeemer, and second as Judge and King and Lord. We are so grateful we didn't miss his first coming. Because when he comes as his second coming, it's my Redeemer. How awesome to see him for the first time as Judge. But you can understand why that generation missed him. They'd waited so long. Well, Pentecost has gone on for 2,000 years. Is this the generation that Pentecost ends and a trumpet is sounded because the end of the age is upon us? I believe it is, And I believe that if we don't see this, we will not understand what God is saying today. And that's why many Christian brothers and sisters cannot see what God is saying today. I remember in 1993, when the Lord showed me these things. It was a time of separation. A trumpet was going to be sounded. The Lord will tolerate the leaven no more. And the leaven of the bride mixed in with the harlot. Because when we read Revelation, we read that when Jesus comes back, there's two women. Two women. A bride, white, spotless, virginal, without wrinkle, without error. That's his church. So he's not coming back tomorrow, is he? But then there was another woman, a deceiver, a counterfeit, a harlot. Now, a counterfeit £5 note isn't that big and white, is it?
No.
For it to be a counterfeit, euro or money, it has to be so like the original that you can't tell the difference. And that's the harlot. And the Lord spoke to me. My church, my bride, is mixed in with this harlot and is full of leaven. But from this day, I will deliver my people as Moses delivered Israel from the bondage of the harlot. Men have built a system. Men have built their own churches. But I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, when the Lord gave me this, it was like throwing a grenade into any church, as you can imagine. I'm going to skip the detail of it, but the Lord graciously gave me a number of prophecies to me personally about the world and circumstances, so that I was without doubt. The Lord said to me, for what I have for you to do, I need you to be fully persuaded. So I will show you things that will come to pass. Write them down, so that you know that this Pentecost is finished. I am going to sound a trumpet. Most will not hear it, but sound it anyway. Now, I'm fortunate enough to have brothers here who were there when I wrote those things down. And he's given me successive things. Colin will bear witness. The church will go worse and worse into Babylon, into controlling men. His people were going to be freed and want to come out of it. Because the harlot and the bride that were mixed, the harlot was going to become more and more like a harlot. And his church, the bride, could no longer compromise that much. And one by one, they say, I've had enough. This is not your church, Lord. It might look like it. It might go by your name, but it is not your church. We are your church. At that same time, Lord said, I will sound a trumpet. And I know Colin's seen these prophecies. The financial world will begin to collapse. There will be a global recession. Even banks will go bankrupt. You remember the prophecy, Colin? I was mocked. The banks will go bankrupt. You know, a worldwide recession. the prophecy's yea long. But also, that'll be one of my trumpets. When you see these things, and I wrote this down, the Lord said, when you see these things, these are the trumpets. And he's given me a number of trumpets since. I remember being up here in Cumbria. And the Lord said, earthquakes from this moment will exponentially go forward. I mean, from that weekend.
Yeah.
From that weekend, earthquakes just exponentially grew. He's spoken to me recently about famines. The Lord spoke to me that there would be a climate shift and change. The seasons, the birds, the crops would be confused. I don't know whether you've got it in Germany, but we've certainly got it here. I said, these are my trumpet sounds. But you see, if you don't know you're here, you miss the sound of the trumpet. God is saying it's time to get ready because there's a soon coming change. God is sounding a trumpet. Everything in the world that people see as stability and as a rock, he's shaking it because the only thing we can stand on is the rock Christ Jesus. Be very careful what you are building your life on at this time. Because everything you're building your life on can be shaken to pieces in a moment, with one exception. We are founded on an immovable rock, and we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken and stands forever. I digress. Trumpets. To move from Pentecost is difficult to convince any Pentecostal that you've moved on from Pentecost. But to quote Paul a little, can I be a fool in boasting? Because to boast is foolish, isn't it? But bear with me a little in my boasting to make a point. Paul said, when he saw the law and Judaism, he excelled in it more than any of his contemporaries. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, wasn't he? He was a Pharisee concerning the law. So he peaked at the top of Judaism more so than of his contemporaries around him. This is God's sense of humour. Who did he call to bring a message that the time of the law was finished and that grace was the new covenant? He didn't call someone who was just waiting for the grace. He called someone who had excelled in the law and was more zealous of the things of the law to say it had ended. That's just the Lord, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, if I may repeat Paul and boast a little, and I know some of you know me well enough to know that this is true, but in terms of Pentecostal move of God, I excelled in it more than many contemporaries, as many of you know. I've just sometimes just walked in meetings, Tony Mabel, and demons have been manifest, and all sorts of things going on. People were touched and healed. We had a blind lady that saw. There were just so many things that the hand of God did. The ridiculous thing, people were looking at me, as if you had done something special. But for whatever reason, God decided to fulfill his promise that he uses the weak to confound the strong, and the simple to confound the wise. So in my weakness and in my simplicity and in my lack of knowledge, God demonstrated Surely to prove if God can do it through him, he can surely do it through anybody. But men don't see it that way, do they? That was the truth, of course. Then who then did God reveal to? The message that Pentecost was finished, but the one through which Pentecost was flowing like a torrent. So you can imagine the abuse. But I boast foolishly, and I hope you receive it in the way it's meant, to bring a point. Pentecost, of its time span, is finished. It's actually, we're in trumpets. Do you remember the time in meetings where there's great joy? We used to bounce around and sing, and there was the presence of God was tremendous. Now you can't whip it up, you can't beat it up, you can't make it. God is saying with a trumpet, it is over. Come out of it. You see, but people won't accept it. God is moving here throughout every generation. People who've been involved at a phase will not move on to the next. My grandfather did this. My father did this. I was brought up in this chapel. This is where I will die. At least they've got some things right. One of my frustrations in life, when I came to know the Lord, I was so overjoyed with the revelation of it. I longed to convince the lost that they weren't saved. So they were always my enemies until they got saved. Then they loved me. But when you went to the saved and said, Luke, you've stayed at Passover, this Pentecost, you know. So as soon as they become your friend, they become your enemy again. Because you see the next stage. That's the prophetic of God. Where we see what's coming. We see the next step, not the now. So don't stay at Passover, as wonderful as it is. It doesn't take anything from Passover. But Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. Don't just go out with Passover. You need power. And he will come. And he'll come on time. To the day. And the Holy Spirit did come on time to the day. And he empowered the church. So for a period of time, I've had friends. And just when actually the world's starting to think that I'm a nice guy, I'm starting to be accepted. What a pleasant change. And then the Lord says, you realise Pentecost is over, don't you? And there's more. Oh, there is so much more. Because what you saw in part in Pentecost, Tabernacles is about fullness. What you saw in part, you will see in full. Pentecost was capped because of the leaven. But with Tabernacles, the shackles are off and the power of God. That's tomorrow. Trumpets. I can't get off trumpets, can I? Trumpets, what is different about it? It doesn't celebrate an event. It's not the memory of a moment. It's the solemn feast. It's a time of great warning. And it's a finite time. Numbers are quite unique in the scriptures. It's fascinating. I won't even pretend to compete with Barry on numbers. But there's a finite time. And the Lord showed me something about this a little. A trumpet warns of something, doesn't it? You know, when Jesus came, he said, with the sound of a great noise and a great trumpet, the angels will come and they will gather the elect from all the four corners of heaven. There'll be a sound of a great trumpet. There's an announcement. When Jesus comes in the sky, there will be a great noise and a great trumpet. We won't miss those. But the world's missing the trumpets leading up to it. These days, God does not want us to catch us out. And I want to show you something that the Lord's revealed to me. This time of trumpets is finite, at the end of which there's a closed door. If we are not ready on the 10th day, you see, trumpets lasted for 9 days, and on the 10th day was atonement. If we hadn't got ourselves ready in the 9 days, they were irrevocably cut out of Israel. So this was a serious time. A time to prostrate yourself before God. A time to humble yourself before God. A time to recognize that our lives need to change. A time of great repentance. Now, Noah gave this message, didn't he? Because on the 10th day, it's too late. But Noah, for 100 years, 10 times 10, God gave the 10 times 10, because this was a big event. I mean, this wasn't a minor judgment, was it? This was the world flooded. 10 times 10. A door was open. God sounded a warning, a trumpet, through Noah. For 10 times 10. Nobody heard it. But then God closed the door. That's what happens at the end of trumpets. A door closes. Now, we can see a number of instances here. And I want to take you to a story. You can read it. I made a reference here. 1 Samuel 25, sometime. But it's the story of Nabal. The Lord said to me, this is trumpets. Just look at Nabal. Now, Nabal was a man who had vast herds of sheep, great possessions. How he arrived at his vast fortune, we don't know, because he was a fool. And we know that because his wife said he was. So, as all the gentlemen here know, that settles it. Now, David, of course, had his army and was about to become the new coming king. His army dwelt around Nabal's area of land. But before he was king, he went to Nabal and sent some young men to him to say, give us some sustenance and some, you know, pay homage to us and feeding his army and so on and so forth. But that he just gave due honour to the king. Nabal's response, oh, there's always some new king coming. Clear off, go away. Who is this David? So the young men were quite badly used and went back to David. David's enraged. There won't be one male left standing. I will slaughter all him and all that he has. There will not be one man standing. David gets his army. He's on the way. But the workers of Nabal went to his wife, Abigail. And the well-known and well-used words, my husband is an idiot. I jest, of course. Sure you've never heard of him. He's a fool. Nabal means an idiot, a fool. He said he's rightly named because he is one. Because the young men that work for us, they'd come to me and they said, you are a rightful king. And you are a good man. And you didn't steal any of our sheep. You have never robbed any of our goods. You could have taken everything, killed the men, but you showed us kindness and respect. And the workers even felt protected by you. So, though my husband is a fool, both we, all our workers and family, and I, we know you are the king. So here's our gifts. We're always suckers. It works with me every time. Luke, I baked you some cakes. Well, that would have done it for me. David said, okay, I'll let you off then. But Nabal, one thing he didn't know. He didn't know about this visit. And he said, thank you, Abigail, because you have stopped me from slaughtering innocent people who would have acknowledged the king. And I wouldn't have known. This foolishness is Nabal's alone. So he didn't go and slaughter them. Now what Nabal didn't know is he had 10 days to repent. You read the story that on the 10th day thereabouts, God slew him and he died. See, on the first day he didn't know. And on the 5th day he didn't know. And on the 9th day he didn't know we had a day left. But he had 10 days. And God smote him and he was dead. Now, the Lord said, this is trumpets, you see. Look, it's all in there. Wonderful, isn't it? Weaved like a pattern. Trumpets is 10 days. On the 10th day, a man's cleansing and redemption is so complete that he enters into a whole new walk of tabernacles. Now, we know Jesus has done the work. We know the work's complete. But something has to happen in revelation in our hearts. A true walk with God begins with a depth of repentance that I think we haven't yet visited. You see, we can say, sorry, Lord. You're now my saviour. And I know many who've done that. But something happens in a man, a woman, where you look at the mirror and instead of seeing what you think you are, we see what we really are. And we become broken. And we find a depth of remorse and sorrow and regret that we've never found before. And we cry out to God, purge out this leaven. Take away this leaven that holds me back from fullness. I tell you, in your heart, if you are being made ready, you have always known as you look around, there has to be more than this. The Christian life has to be more than this. And there is so much more. Pentecost will look like a light shower. Because at the end of the age, the latter rain is far greater than the former rain. The power of God is in fullness, not in part. And the church has to be ready. And the Lord says, I want the leaven. Well, he's dealing with it in my life. Is he dealing with the leaven in your life?
Yes.
The things you thought you maybe get away with, you're not comfortable that you might be getting away with them anymore. The God is starting to put his finger on your life. He wants to deal with things. This 10 thing, you know, I could go, well, there's a lot of scriptures, but you read, when you read Matthew's gospel about the 10 virgins, wouldn't you? Let's take a look at it. Matthew 25. 10 virgins expecting the bridegroom. We're back to 10 again, aren't we? 5 took plenty of oil and 5 didn't. The 5 ran out. Said, oh, you 5 give us of your oil. But they were made ready for the bridegroom's coming. And they said, no. If we give you our oil, there won't be enough for us. We want to be ready for the bridegroom. We want to be ready for the bridegroom. So the 5 went off to buy oil. When they came back, the bridegroom has come. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. This is the 10 thing. A finite time. The door was shut. The others said, Lord, Lord, open the door. I don't know you. Watch therefore, because you don't know the day or the hour when your Lord is coming. See, we have to be ready. We read in Revelation that when Jesus comes, the bride has made herself ready. The bride has made herself ready. Now, the Lord will do all the work. It's his work. He'll do it by the power of the Spirit. But there's something that rests on us to get ready, to be ready. Because you have a finite amount of time to get ready. Luke 13. They said to Jesus, are there few that are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter at the strait gate. Many, I say to you, will seek to enter but won't be able to. Because when the master of the house has risen up and he shut the door, and then you begin to stand and knock, the Lord will say, I don't know you. And they will say, Lord, we've eaten and we've drunk in your presence. How many do you know that could say that? We've been with you, Lord. We are yours. The Lord will say, if you were mine, you wouldn't be on that side of the door. You'd be on this side of the door. And I'm sure he'll remind them of all the trumpet sounds that they didn't hear or ignored. 10 is a strange number. Trumpets. We have a 10-day period. I'm sure God applies these to our individual lives as well, don't you? Maybe it's day 3 for you. Maybe it's day 9 for me. But I know you have a finite amount of time to say to the Lord, enough's enough. Choose this day who you'll serve. Listen to that trumpet call and know that God has warned you time and time again. Because he certainly warned me. So Pentecost has changed to trumpets. But you know, it's a solemn message, but trumpets is a solemn feast. time of deep repentance and of getting ready. But the joy of it is entering into fullness. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for a perfect church. It'll only be a short period of time. Now is the time to be ready. I think probably, you know, atonement is, I know it sounds a strange thing, but I know one or two have said it to me, that when they've kind of encountered this deep repentance, and I know a number of brothers who have known the Lord for a period of time, but they've encountered this truth, and their expression is, it's almost like being born again. Not that that happens in Scripture, but the impact of change is so great. Because they've discovered a depth of repentance that is so unique and so deep and so meaningful. And rather than being slightly sorry for your sins, you become so repulsed, so ashamed, so deeply moved within. You just want to be free. And you throw yourself before the mercy of God. We spoke before about the scripture, didn't we? Jesus is the stone. And the scriptures say, whoever throws himself upon this stone will be broken. But on whoever this stone comes, it will grind him to powder. This stone, this rock, is Christ Jesus. We're going to be hit by that stone one way or the other. We either voluntarily throw ourselves upon that stone and become broken. It's the end of our life and the beginning of our life in him. And if you throw yourself on that stone, you become broken. Your blood runs into the stone. You become part of the stone. As Peter mentioned before, the head of the mountain and the rock and the foundation, we become part of it. We become absorbed into the stone in Christ. We're members one of another and members of Christ, the one rock. But those who choose not to throw themselves on that stone and weep before God with real repentance, one day that same stone that offered you that choice, it comes and grinds you to powder. Because that same stone can be your redeemer or your judge. Trumpets is a trumpet sound that is saying to all of the world, to all their gods of money and possessions and of greed and of all the things they build their lives on, there's a trumpet sound. Throw yourself on this stone and be broken. And let Christ be head and king and Lord and Master. Hear the trumpet sound. If you can't see it in the weather, and you can't see it in the finance, and if you can't see it in the infrastructure of the world, blindness is truly upon you. I hope you hear it this weekend. Because for those who hear the trumpet, the joy that is the next step is joy unspeakable. It is a precious walk with God that the world has been waiting for. I remember going to Germany and spoke with Walter and others. And the Lord said, this tabernacle that's coming, and we'll come into it maybe this evening. The world is on the very verge of the greatest move of God that the world has ever seen. That's the church in tabernacles. Well beyond what the church of Pentecost was. And we do have to get ready. I hope. The scripture says, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? And I hope today I've done the Lord justice in making sure that that trumpet has made a very certain sound. And we, you and I, have a finite time, so that when God keeps moving, we don't get stuck in our tradition of the past. You know him, many of you, maybe all of you. You have known God has kept moving. And you've been moving with him, but maybe not understanding this. But the Lord said, yes, keep moving. And this is where you are. Because everything he's going to say this weekend, if we don't see this, it won't mean much to us. But if we understand this, we know what God is saying, and we can move with him. Amen. Amen.